God is speaking. He's proclaiming. He's declaring. Our God is talking to us. He's not only talking to us corporately, but he's talking to us individually. My question to you, are you listening? Are you hearing the voice of God? Are you availing yourself to recognize that voice? And when you recognize that voice, you go, he's talking now. Where you settle your spirit, you avail yourself to listen to every word, everything that is spoken to you. Where the enemy would want to bring confusion, the enemy would want to let you hear the other voices that are out there, declaring their own stuff that is opposite of God. But God has this voice that children of God know. It's like you could be in a crowd as a child and you could hear mama's voice. You could hear daddy's voice. Abba, Father, Daddy. He has that voice that you know. I'm going to ask you to quietly be seated, and Dr. Mila, would you come? And there are times during the week, thank you, there are times during the week that Dr. Mila and I would communicate, and because I recognize the anointing and the call of God that's in our life. And I recognize the hours that she spends, the hours that her husband spends in prayer, seeking the face of God and hearing that voice, because she's been sent to us, this church, to speak to us so that we can not only personally, corporately hear the voice, but hear a prophetic word, something that is prophetically spoken over the house of God, but over your homes, over your lives. So I'm going to ask that Dr. Mila go ahead and please and share with us.
Good morning. On February 26, early in the morning, the Lord has given me a message that has been open before me morning by morning. A message to the church, his bride. The coming to pass of what was written. My word will stand, I have spoken, and I will make it happen. To you who is not ashamed of me and my words, to those of you, you are blessed because you hear God's word and guard it with your lives. Who reverently trembles at the sound of the voice of his word, I am God. And there is no other. I do not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, not willing anyone should perish, but everyone should come to repentance. So turn from your wicked ways and live. For he is good, and his mercy and his loving kindness endures forever. As the world watches the rise and fall of government, I continue to build my church, my bride. So my bride, in humility, seek my presence and turn your backs on wicked thinking, wicked living, wicked imagination, and wicked affiliations. Then I will hear, forgive, and bring this land and you to health and wholeness. Put your houses in order and accomplish all that you had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in your house. The projects you set your hearts on doing, let it be done with success and excellence. And I will be attentive and responsive to the prayers offered in my sanctuary. The river of my visitation and the water of my word is gushing forth. And as the waters cover the sea, so shall my word cover the earth. The sound of these waters shall be heard throughout the whole world. coming from the sanctuaries of my temple. You are the temple, the dwelling place of the mighty Holy Spirit. My temple shall be filled with my glory. Out of the innermost being, your innermost being, shall flow rivers of living waters, abiding in me and my word abiding in you. In boldness and with confidence, declare my word. Ask, I will hear, and it shall be. The gospel message, like a pent-up flood, is bursting with a roar of the lion. Flow with the intensity of this river and allow this river to carry you, starting in your home, in this nation, and to the nations of the world. The breakthrough of my glory and the visitation of my presence, there will be rising of servant leaders who will speak before kings. There will be worshipers with songs of deliverance, warrior intercessors releasing the voice activation access into the supernatural realm and silencing the prophets of Baal. Overflowing bowls of the prayer declaration of the saints, releasing lightning in his hands, striking its mark. Fishers of men spreading revival, healing waters, and the Joseph coming from my sanctuaries to the marketplaces will have double portion. In the gates of the cities of the world will rise mighty men and women, business as ministry, tent makers, fruitful, productive in every season, and renewed strength. Exponential multiplication, increase of pressed down, shaken together, running over, expansion, influence, signs and wonders, because their water flows from the sanctuary. So businessmen and women need to have a covering from their pastors and attend their churches. So therefore, let go of every weight and sin. Finish this race, because heaven is on point with the appointed time. You steward the length of your days. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Wow, let's all stand. A lot of times when the Holy Spirit speaks like that, we need to acknowledge what was spoken. And as your pastor and everybody watching online, the reality is what I heard the Holy Spirit saying is he is moving amongst this whole world, transitioning nations. But in the process of that, he's transitioning the church. And the church, instead of looking out and saying who's right, who's wrong, whose opinion is right, who's wrong, God says, look into yourself and repent. Not because you're evil, not because you're bad, but repent. Because of maybe wrong thoughts or the frustration of life. And so in a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and I myself personally, I'm going to repent. I'm going to repent to the Lord. And my repentance is not because I'm bad. God, forgive me that I might get into heaven. No, that's already paid for by Jesus Christ. My repentance is doing a 180 in every area of my life, turning around in areas and thoughts. And I think the second part of this is what the enemy has done in the last 20 years or two decades that I've seen, is the enemy coming in and making the church a place to be at, not being the church, not like this being such a priority. And you are so faithful. People watching online, I hear you all the time. You're so faithful. But there are people around you that have bought that lie, that have bought that deception, and they no longer want to be part of the church. So my statement to you, if God is saying to repent and to make church a priority and submitting to the authority of God, then this is my priority now. I work with so many different people all over the place, everywhere I go, you know, and just everywhere, from the grocery store to where I work out, to on the first tee at the golf course, whatever it is, wherever I'm going outside these four walls, that I've been ministering to people. But you know what the Holy Spirit just said to me? Is that I don't point my finger to them with like disgust or, you know, anger. Is that I say, get back in church. Everybody online, get back in church. Find you a church that teaches the Word of God. Make it a priority. Your children, your grandchildren. Don't look at them and say, well, you know, that's okay how you feel or whatever. No. This is the priority of God, because what He's doing, He's changing nations and He's changing the church. So let's receive what Dr. Mila gave us, what the Holy Spirit spoke through our sister, and avail ourselves. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to repent. I'm going to do 180 in my thinking of spiritual things. And wherever I go now, it's about church. And watch this. This is the Holy Spirit saying to me of another thing that Dr. Mila said was, and when I talk to someone about the church, it'll get me more excited about the church because of my 180 regarding how blessed I am to be a part of church, be a part of your life, how blessed I am that I'm a part of you and you're a part of me. And we can do this together, but individually go out and proclaim the blessing of the church. Amen? You get that? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you. Father, forgive me for not having a greater passion for the house of God. For not having a greater passion to reach out and to minister that passion in love to so many that I meet every single day. I proclaim in Jesus' name that every person that I meet, I come in agreement with your word that you go before me, and that I will be able to minister to them and find the house of God for them. And Lord, I know that you will bring so many to Valley. But God, that I desire that people would just turn this thing around and know that this is a Christian nation that is called of God to gather together. Don't forsake the assembling together of the believer, and gather together and worship and give honor to you. Forgive me as I lead this house. There will be greater passion, Father, to bring the knowledge of your word to this congregation, that the house of God is a place that all should be. And now I come against the enemy that has brought deception in many facets of lives in our world. As you are changing nations, change this nation as we watch worship on the campuses, the universities, as we watch worship in the Oval Office of our nation. Lord, in Jesus' name, the White House is filled with worship. Valley Community is filled with worship. Let our places of business, let our places of work, our neighborhood be filled with worship and honor towards you, and the submission to the authority of the Holy Spirit and your appointed leaders. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And in this reality, as we live it out from this day forward, we will see the prosperity of God. We will see health just absolutely manifest in our bodies because we are moving under the canopy of the anointing of God. And we receive that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord an applause. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Dr. Mila Rolando, for your lives, for your ministry, for how you minister to the world in so many great ways. And I'll just say, so many of you that do so much. It's just a joy watching you go out into the world and preaching the gospel. Well done. We're going to continue in the series, Tune In and Hear God. And I want to continue the series by explaining how to use the whole Bible and godly counsel to confirm God's word in your life, in our lives. I hope this series has inspired you to spend more time with God. And I pray that even though you've done this, it's been a part of your life, that you will listen in a greater way for the voice of God. Wherever you're at, whatever goes on, that you will recognize that voice and you will seek that voice, because when you hear the voice and you come under subjection to that voice, the blessings of God will just fall all over you and everything you put your hands to. Now, I would suggest to you the number one question, and I said this at the beginning of this series, I'm going to say it again, asked of me in 46 years of ministry is, how can I hear God? Probably the second most question that is given to me is, then if I'm hearing God, how that I know that it is God that I'm hearing and not another voice? Because you have to understand, we live in a spiritual realm, a spiritual kingdom. Physically, we live in a spiritual kingdom. And there are many voices out there. But please know and understand that it's not wrong to ask God to confirm his word. That's my subtitle today, is Call for Confirmation. Let the word of God be confirmed in your heart, because confirming is scriptural. Now, I'm going to read you some scriptures before I get to the main topic and to my 3 points. Again, God was speaking to me when I was doing this series, as always, but on this part, there was a lot that he said to me, and I had to take this amount and put it and concise it to what I'm going to show you. So the beginning, there's going to be a lot. I'm going to talk a lot, and then I'm going to get to my points, and I'll go through them a little quicker than I normally do. But Mark 16, verse 20, notice confirming the word. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Now, the next scripture is quoted from the law in Deuteronomy, and it's talking about when you have an offended brother. What do you do when you're struggling in these areas of unforgiveness and all the things? And Matthew 18, 16, it says, but if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. When you go out to bring resolution or bring an answer to a situation, go out and allow the word to be confirmed. Let it let it be to where truth goes out, not just your opinion or your anger. So that's what he's saying. So, but constantly in the Word, it tells us that the things that you're hearing, we're talking about hearing the voice of God, that spend time confirming what you heard. And that's what I'm going to show you in the points. So, but if he will not hear, watch this, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So you are confirming by your actions what the word of God, what the word of God had said to you. So the word established means made firm, or the word confirm means to make something firm. A lot of times we hear God, but we try to confirm the things of God by our emotions, what we feel. Maybe we're hurt, or maybe we're excited, or what. See, the bottom line, the Word of God is telling us, confirm what God said in your life. So that's what we're asking God to do in confirming it, is to establish the Word of God in our life. So when you do things, and maybe you're not as comfortable, God said it, you confirmed it, but you do it, you don't feel comfortable about doing everything that God asks you to do, because you're growing in the things of the Lord. So follow what I'm saying here. Now we're going to read to you from 2 Corinthians 13:1. This will be the third time I am coming to you. Again, I've used this before, stating 2 Corinthians is actually the third letter that he wrote to them. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. So that's repeated. Again, how do we call for or ask for confirmation? How do you do that? Because when I am doing teachings and conferences, you know, those are the questions that people ask when we're talking about hearing the voice of God. How can I confirm that it was really God that was speaking to me? How can I confirm, because of the emotions that I feel of what's happened in my life, because I know as well as you know, because we're all in this together, that sometimes our soul man gets in the way. And how we hear the word or how we read the word is we try to match it up to what we're feeling instead of what it is saying, and then we have to align our soul man, our emotions, to what God said. So follow me now. How do we call or for ask for confirmation? So let me just show you in Judges a story. Gideon asked God for a fleece. Now, we call it Gideon's fleece. Everybody's heard that story. But please notice, even before Gideon asked for a fleece, he had asked God to confirm his word. All right, he had asked God to confirm his word. So because of the time, just read Judges, write in your notes, or just put in your mind, read Judges 6 and 7 this afternoon, because you'll love the story. But it says that the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak of Ophrah. And that's symbolic of a divine encounter and revelation. That's if you study the words. So what it does, and just hear this, it marked where Gideon was called, meeting the angel of the Lord, and was given the assignment to deliver Israel. Now you can imagine Gideon and what was going on and what he was experiencing, what he was seeing. Can you imagine what's going on in your life, what you're seeing in the world? And then God said something for you to do, even though you see what's going on in the world. Most theologians believe the angel of the Lord is referring to Jesus Christ. I believe that too. And here's a proof text that Jesus is using the term angel of the Lord. Four times in Judges 6, it says, and the Lord said to him. All right? So it's referring to Jesus who sat under this Ophir tree. Judges 6:16 says this, "And the Lord promised Gideon victory." Didn't we just hear that in the Word? God spoke through Mila, and he's promised us victory, but there were certain things that we are to do, saying, "Surely I will be with you, and you will defeat the Midianites as one man." I'd love to have time to, as one man, to tear that apart, but we're not going to do that today. So this is Gideon now, watch this, asking for a sign. And a lot of people always say, well, you ask for a sign, you don't have faith. I'm telling you that statement, that if you're asking for a sign, you don't have faith, is garbage. God has asked you to confirm the word of God because we're building faith. So follow my thoughts here. Gideon responds, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me." He faces the same thing that you face. "Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." And he said, Jesus said, "I will wait until you come back." Jesus is sitting there declaring to Gideon, "You will have victory, and this is what you're going to do." And Gideon is saying, "Well, give me a sign of this." And so what Gideon then, watch this, Gideon is the one that develops the sign. God didn't give him the sign. Gideon developed. And God himself, Jesus, sat there and said, "Cool, I'll just drink a Diet Coke and wait on you." And I'm joking here. That's God's heart towards you. There are some things in your life that you know that God has spoken to you. Something you read in the Bible. Something that maybe was stated from this platform. And you're hearing what is being said, and you know it's true, but you need it confirmed. That's not lack of faith. Because you are serving a God that is patient with you and waiting on you to have your heart confirmed so that when you do it with great joy. There are a lot of people, because they don't understand that, you know what we do? We think we hear God, and automatically we jump out, and what do? We do it with our own thoughts, what we're supposed to do, instead of really having it confirmed in our heart. Let patience have her perfect work. You know why that scripture says that? Because we have a patient God. God is patient with you. Well, go ahead and raise your hand. How many of you have thought you heard God, you did something, and you knew you missed it? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. I do it all the time. I come to a church, a pastor misses God all the time. Don't go far with that, all right? Just understand, I'm like you, but I serve the same God you do, a very patient and loving God. The Lord comes to the earth and talks to Gideon. Gideon says, "Show me a sign that it is you who talks with me. I need to know it's you, God." Then Gideon says, "Here's the sign. Let me prepare an offering to you." And Jesus says, "All right, I'll wait for you." Again, God will wait for you to know that it's him who is talking to you. And we think God is not answering. You see, God is patient. He's just waiting on you. And all the time when we pray, we think that we're waiting on him. Now, there are times that the Lord will maneuver things for you and that you're waiting on him. But what are you waiting on him for? You're waiting on him to hear his voice and to have his voice confirmed in your heart. But in most cases, in your life, whatever you're praying, God is waiting on you to align yourself that it's confirmed, that your faith arises, and then when you face whatever you face, it doesn't change you because you know you heard God's voice because it's been confirmed in your heart. Sometimes people may look at me and say, Pastor, you've been doing this all these, why don't you just move? Because sometimes it's not confirmed in my heart. I heard God, but it's not confirmed in my heart what God literally was saying to me. And so I wait on the Lord. There are times for leadership, I will proclaim things that, you know, because I trust him, that I heard God say, but then there's a month or two or three or four, maybe even a year, that I'm waiting to find out what God said in what he said. Because I'm releasing that to other people. How to train, how to develop, how to do all those things. Because I'm hearing God. You do the same thing in every call that you're called to. You have the same lifestyle as I do. And what we're learning about hearing the voice of God is that hearing the voice of God, confirming that voice, is vital for you to attain so many things in your life. So he said, I'll wait for you. You know, we want it now. But God has eternity. The way we think in our culture in Gideon's days, there's no drive-thrus, there's no microwaves. Gideon had to kill the goat. He couldn't go to Burger King and get a goat and clean it. And that took hours to do. Bible doesn't tell us how long. Could have been an hour. He could have had someone there right away and prepared it for him right away. But it took hours to happen. What I'm trying to say to you, what we're learning from this, is it could take hours or days or weeks or months for it to be confirmed in your heart. See, the difference between faith and fear is confirmation in your spirit. If it's not confirmed in your heart, fear will rise up in your heart. But it's confirmed, fear will come, but you can tell it to leave because you know you heard God. Some of you are making huge decisions for your life, maybe in a relationship, maybe buying a house, getting a new apartment, buying a car, changing jobs, selling your business, buying a business, all the different things that you face in life, let it be confirmed in your heart. It doesn't have to happen overnight. So what happens is Gideon brings the offering back. He's asking for a sign. Scripture tells us the Lord had a staff in his hand. You read what I asked you to read in Judges. Gideon put the cooked meat on the rock and poured broth over it. Making cosido or something like that. So the Lord took the end of the staff and he touched the meat, and fire came out of the rock and consumed all the offering and the meat. I'd say Gideon had a sign. How about you? All right. Then after Gideon gets a sign, guess what Gideon does? He asked for another sign. And you know what? It didn't make God mad. Oh, little faith you have. No. Because God has asked us to confirm the word. Confirm what he said to you. It doesn't make God mad. So, absolutely what takes place is this. Gideon does it three times. Now a fleece is wool from the lamb. Judges 6:36, notice as you said. So Gideon said to God, If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you have Israel by my hand, as you have said. Verse 38, it happens. And it was so, when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. My question is, would we believe now? If that would happen, would we believe? Verse 39, look at the patience of God. What I'm trying to say today, look at how patient God is with us. How patient God is with us. Look at the patience he has for you. Why are you beating yourself up? Well, I'm not that spiritual. Yes, you are. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You're spiritual. You're anointed of God. And so don't allow the lie of the enemy, deception of the enemy, that you do hear God and he is patient with you. Verse 39, then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on the ground. Now, let's allow ourselves to see what God is doing in this. I can imagine the angel Lord, just Jesus, just sitting there and, yeah, it's okay. And probably, you know, Daddy, Father God said, it's okay, it's cool. Yeah, you know how Gideon is. So Gideon calls for the whole army of Israel. 32,000 men show up. The Lord says, this is too many. Because if you win with 32,000 men, you will take the glory for yourself. But now notice, what if God said that before the fleece, before all the signs? How would Gideon feel that, okay, I'll go against the army. I got 32,000 soldiers, but now I only have 10,000. See, at that time, God's patience got Gideon to a place where he would believe 10,000 will do it. But watch what God does. God, being in his patience with Gideon, then develops it anymore. We know the story, and you already know it, but I'm going to tell you anyways, because I'm the one teaching this morning. Because if you win with 32,000 men, you will take the glory for yourself. God says, I want you to make an announcement. If anyone is afraid, let him go home. And a lot of people say, see, there are a lot of people afraid and they make, no, that's not the teaching there. That's not what we're supposed to learn in the story. What we're supposed to learn in the story is that tune in and hear God. And when you hear God, confirm the word. Don't rush into that. Confirm the word to the point where you really believe what was said to you is from God, and you're going to do it. No matter what takes place as you do it, you will not stop. You will continue to do what God's called you to do. So Gideon says to all the men, if any of you are afraid, you can go home. 22,000 left. So he's got 10,000 people. God says, well, that's too many. You'll still take the credit. So the Lord says, take them down to the river, and I'm just going to quickly say this. Any man who laps water like dogs, you set him aside. So bottom line, you know, God said, take the dog lappers and take care of them. That's your army, 300. Then Gideon needs another sign. So God says, sneak down to the Midian camp. I have prepared an encouraging word for you. Gideon hides behind a tree and sees a Midian soldier. And this guy, read it, I'm not lying to you, read it later on. This guy says to his friends, I had a dream last night. I dreamed that a loaf of bread rolled down a hill and hit my tent, and my tent went flat. Then it kept rolling and flattened all of our tents. And one of the other soldiers said to him, and he's listening to this behind the tree, that means that it's Gideon. The sword of Gideon and God is on his side. God is not on our side, and we're going to lose. You think that encouraged Gideon? So that's what God does. In the time of waiting, in the time that you're trying to draw closer to the Lord and allow yourself and avail yourself to just dig deep with God and listening to his voice and reading his word. We'll find that out in a little bit. And doing all the things that you're doing, it's not a horse race. It's a slow process. It's a slow process. So there are three confirmations in Scripture that work every time with every person. And how do you know it's God? And so that's what I'm going to show you. But first of all, I'm going to give it to you in questions, but let me give you some words so that we can use these words. You can listen to the message again online, church center, all that. But write fast, because I'm going to go fast here. But before I ask the questions, let me give you three words. They're called alliterations, all right? Three words are his word, his wisdom, and his ways. And there are three other words that we can put to those words. His principles, which is the word, his people, which is wisdom, you'll find out in my points, and his peace, which is his ways, when you start acting upon what you heard. Can I give you three more? All right, here we go. His character, his counsel, and I couldn't figure out another word here, but I'll just use this one. His calm. When you go through the process, even if you're in the midst of a battle, you'll go through it with calm. How many times have I done this where, because of my type A personality, but I've learned through the years is I have to do it with calm. And a lot of people will say to me, Pastor, man, you just, when you do stuff, you just, it's like, it's the easiest thing in the world. But on the inside, my soul is going, ah! I'm sorry, that was a little loud. But that's where I'm at. There are times on the inside I'm going, ah! But my spirit is calm. And my spirit is availing me to act in that calm on that. But my spirit's also telling my soul to, I'm sorry, I'll say it, to shut up. Because I heard God. I know this is what God said, and I've confirmed it. And I've spent time listening and doing the things that I should do to know that it's confirmed in my heart and that nothing will change me. So let me give you the three things that we find in the Bible of how you bring confirmation. The first point is, does it line up with the Bible? What you heard, does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with God's word? Does it line up with his principles? Does it line up with God's character? please hear this. God's voice that you hear will never disagree with God's word. Through the years, so many people, well, I know the word says this, but this is what I feel that I'm supposed to do. I said, well, the word says this. How come you think you can do this? Well, because I just feel. No, you're deceived. Matthew 19:3 says, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Please note the word just was added by the translators. It wasn't in the original Greek. So the Greek said, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? Watch what Jesus says. And he answered and said to them, have you not read the word? Now it goes on to say, Moses permitted a divorce because of the hardness of your heart. My point is this. They were asking for a word from God when the word of God already says. Jesus said, why don't you read from the Bible? You want a word from God on marriage and divorce? Read the Bible. Again, have you not read? So God's word speaks. Remember the beginning of the series that the word of God is God's spoken word to the writers, and they wrote it down. But it's originally God speaking. So we need to hear the voice of God in the word of God confirming what you heard in your spirit. Many take one scripture out of context and then they try to prove it. I mean, you got a guy that just voted in and they're going to vote, you know, on, and he's standing up there talking about the church. And by the way, I'm putting a whole teaching together or writing together for you to understand the deception of this guy that has a doctorate and has graduated from a seminary and is totally teaching false doctrine. And he's in the government. And he's standing up and teaching. And I'm going to give you a writing on that, what he says and what the Word of God says, so that deception does not climb over Valley Community Church and your families. So the Bible will not contradict itself, but your interpretation of the Bible may contradict the whole word. So we're talking about the whole word, a word disagreeing with an interpretation. Now, did you know that you can prove that David had a motorcycle? David's triumph was heard throughout the land. Did you know that you can prove that Moses played tennis? Moses refused to serve in the courts of Pharaoh. Let the word confirm what God said to you. Amen? Here's the second point. Told you I'd go quick. Does godly counsel agree with what you heard? Not goodly counsel. There's a lot of people that will give you goodly counsel, but they're not giving you godly counsel. People will go to so many people that they can go to find someone that will agree with what they're believing. So let me tell you what godly counsel is. Godly counsel is a person who really knows God, who knows the word, and knows you. A person who can say to you, I think you're going a little bit too fast right there. They can speak into your life. See, there's no such thing as godly counsel if you won't listen to it. if you won't trust it. And you go from person to person to person. I know you don't do this. But you go from person to person to person to person to finally hear him say, yeah, that's cool, do it, yeah. No. Does the word confirm it? And godly counsel, do they care enough for you to tell you, you're out of your mind? You're crazy to think that way. Or that wasn't God, because where do you find it in the word? So go to a godly, mature believer. Proverbs 12, 15. Just write the scriptures down. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 19, 20, 21. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, it's the Lord's counsel that will stand. Proverbs 24, 6. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. So the question is it wise counsel, or I'm going to say it, stupid counsel? Remember Rehoboam, and I've taught on this before too. Rehoboam takes over as the king. He says to his father's counselors, what should I do? Wise men, elderly men who knew the word, knew the law, all the different things. And what should I do? This is so good for any leadership position you are in, okay? If you own a business, if you are overseeing a supervisor, whatever it may be, this is the best leadership counsel you could ever receive. They said to him, if you will serve the people, they will be your servants forever. Be a servant leader. Serve the people. That's great counsel. But look at what Rehoboam does. He didn't want to do that. He's king now, man. He's a stud. So scripture tells us Rehoboam didn't listen to the counselors of his father. Instead, he went to his friends. And his friends said, you tell them, if you think my father's hand was heavy, my little finger is heavier than his whole hand. Now, history shows us. Have you ever read in the Bible about the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom? That happened because Rehoboam divided the kingdoms. It split God's people. Please get godly counsel, all right? So does it line up with the Bible? And does godly counsel agree? Here's the third and last. Do I have peace? Remember the word calm? Do I have peace? You can't imagine how big this point is. God created you with a gauge inside of you, whether you have peace or not. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, Paul must have played baseball or something, because they always use sports words. And this word rule is umpire. Let the peace of God umpire in your hearts. Call the balls and strikes. So let God's peace tell you whether this is safe for you or whether you should get out of the situation. So think about it. Really, think about this. How many times have you not had peace, and many times you did it anyways? God never leads through fear. He always leads through faith. That's where that confirmation comes. If I do a series on faith, I always bring about confirmation. Because confirmation is not just like, oh yeah, it says it there, okay, I believe it. No, it's confirmed in your heart by coming to your heart and in all the different ways, and it avails yourself to have peace. Yes, that's God's character. That's what God said. And so if that's God, then that's me. And I believe it and I'll live it out. That's what we're talking about in peace. Peace doesn't come because you have faith and you do believe in God. I know you believe in God. I do too. But it has to be confirmed where that confirmation brings such a peace that you know it's God. No doubt. And so, even in the midst of tribulation, you know you have victory because it's God's will. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding or reasoning," it surpasses all your logical reasoning, "will guard." The word guard is like a garrison of soldiers. It will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when you face it, and seems like sometimes when we hear God, it's confirmed and we do it, seems like all Hades break loose, doesn't it? Seems like, I thought this was God. It was God. But the enemy hates it when you follow God. So he's going to try to steal the word, remember, out of your heart. Come Sunday night, we'll talk about how to keep the word in your heart. But the reality is, when you live your life that way, whatever you're facing, whatever decision you're making, even if you've made bad decisions before, God will align things and take you through it and give you great victory. He'll do that every time. Remember, he's patient. How many times have you gone to bed and you couldn't sleep? Because you're going somewhere and doing something, but you don't have peace. If you just simply say, God, I'll stop until it's confirmed in my heart. Peace will come back to your heart. So here's a way you do this. God will give you a word, hear his voice. You then confirm that word as it lines up with the word. Also, if godly counsel will agree and add the word to it, you then will have peace. That's how you get peace. It's not something that just happens automatically. That's the kingdom lifestyle. That's how you build peace in your life. Let me give you a word to remove fear. Tonight when the sun goes down, look up, if it's not too smoggy, and look at the Big Dipper. Scripture tells us God holds those stars in place and he will take care of you. Amen. So take some time, if you need a word, and enter God's presence and just simply ask, when you hear, does it line up with the Bible? Get godly counsel. Does godly counsel agree? And do I have peace? You know why I'm teaching this? Because God's talking to you. Every one of you. Even in the camera room, God's speaking to you. He's talking to you. He's availing yourself to change, to redirect some things. As even this morning, the repentance of doing a 180. Because he loves you. And you can imagine Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father, elbowing him. Look. Well, show him. Give him a sign. Yeah, just go for it. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Just Have someone else say it to them at the mall. Have someone walk up to them. I've had people literally walk up to me and said, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Yeah." "Well, the Lord just told me to tell you this." I wasn't looking for that, but I was looking for God to confirm something. Amen. And sometimes I have to do some work, like Gideon did. Sometimes you have to do some work, like Gideon. Go out, kill the goat. No, don't do that. You'll be arrested. Well, kill a squirrel maybe. No, just kidding. And go out and do the work. And you know what the Father and Jesus, the Holy Spirit will do? Look at my boy. Look at my girl. Man, I love them. Look at them. Give them a word. Sister Mila, give them a word. And here's the word I want you to give them. She wrote it down and made it plain. You see, some of you are in here, you heard Dr. Mila, and you heard the word that she gave, and you're thinking, "Oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, that's spiritual. Oh, wow. I got to look at that up in the Bible. I'm not used to this. The church I used to go to or wherever I went didn't have that." Yeah, you'll see it in the Bible. But God spoke to Sister Mila because God's speaking to all of us about something. And there it was. It's like you were hiding behind that tree. And Jesus said, "Holy Spirit, show them. Show them I'm hearing them." So you get in. "Can I do a sign?" Three times. Sometimes I need to do that in my life. Because this is the way I used to do it. But God said something a little bit different, still with the word. You've been blessed by the word? Amen. Be encouraged. Please, be encouraged. You are hearing the voice of God. You're in the midst of some battles. But as God said to Gideon, he's saying to you, "I will give you victory. Just allow my word to prevail." Let's all stand. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for our homes. Overwhelm our homes with such blessing. Overwhelm our marriages with such blessings. Teach us, guide us, confirm your word in our hearts. And thank you, Lord, that you love us and your patience. It brings you joy when we seek confirmation. And we give you honor and praise for all you're doing in the house of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6:00.